Hello, ladies. Welcome back to another episode of Healing into Femininity. If you are new to this channel, hi, my name is Joanna Fatonji, and I am a spiritual life coach, transformational coach, energy worker, feminine energy coach, whatever you want to call it. I help people, and that's what I want to talk about today. I help women, especially, to become whole. That's what it is, to become whole. So my brand is called Healing into Femininity, and I've been thinking about the name again. Like I've heard like from here and there, the word healing can be like overly used. And I listened to something yesterday and it resonated with me that I believe the healing space, like the whole healing community or like everything, I would say even therapy is part of the healing community where we actually feel or think, assume that something is broken, right? Where something is broken and we have to heal it. And that is true. Also, I still ascribe to that. That is true that there can be a cut. Right, there can be a cut, there can be a wound, there can be something in our life that happened that kind of cut us off from the unconditional love of life, of the universe, of the divine, however you want to call it. And then we can stay in that loop of healing, 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 healing. But what I really want to do is help people become whole, right? Healing into wholeness and healing into femininity is about because I have identified my group, you. If you're here, you're definitely one part of my tribe. So the woman that I talk to, that's my intention. The women that I talk to are women that have been, deeply conditioned by Western society, right? So probably you had a good education. Yeah. So you went to school, you went to higher education, you went to university, maybe even. And then you got like your degree, you went into corporate, or you had some form of higher education and you learned to work, to stand on your own 2 feet, to like the idea of being l liberal or being free and designing your own life. And that's what it's all about. Like I talk about. You can design the life of your dream. I totally 100% believe that. And I'm in the process of doing that myself. I have created some amazing things for myself already. And it's just going to continue from here. And I want to share what I have learned. I want to share what I have learned. And one thing is definitely the process of becoming whole, becoming one. And I want to share a little bit about this. I want to finish the thought of healing into femininity because what I realize is that me and I believe many other women, like friends, family, just women that I observed in the corporate world and women that I just observed in my life who I feel more drawn to because like this is me, and these were the kinds of women that as I said, like got an education and thought, okay, I can do life on my own, I can do that. Maybe until the point of being too independent, right? Too independent. I believe in interdependence, or I believe in coming together by choice, by free will, and experiencing polarity with a divine partner, right? So I believe in that. And I believe that this is the goal. This is the ultimate goal. It is my goal. But the whole process before meeting your king, before meeting your divine partner, and I'm not just talking about like anybody, like we're already at this point. So you, if that's you, like you have already, as I said, achieved a certain level of success. You know you can do things, like you are in your masculine energy. Like that's the doing, that's the achieving, that's the making things happen, right? You're already in that energy, so you know you can make things happen. The next level is becoming more feminine again, right? Healing into femininity, becoming more feminine again. And then also, and that's the ultimate goal, actually. I want to just share a little bit about this because I want it to be clear, right? So healing into femininity is for the more masculine woman who's struggling to have either find a partner or also not only find a partner, but also making maybe allowing more money to come in, creating the level of business that you want to create, and being fluid in your energy, knowing when to turn on the feminine and when to turn on the masculine, to be balance. And that's what it's about. So I want to take you on a little journey. I always like to share my story or what I went through in order to get to this point. And even like for everyone who has been like watching my videos up until this point, like I started maybe a month ago to really produce more and more because yeah, I'm just ready to share all of the things that I have been sharing. And what also brought me to this point, it was a quite long contemplation, like more than a year. Up until now, I had like hundreds, I already had like hundreds of clients, but all in private, of course. Like it was more one-on-one coaching or small group coaching settings. And I realized like my clients started to exceed me. Like I have clients, I have celebrity clients, yeah, celebrity clients, influencers, designers, like high profile lawyers. I talked about that before. So people that are making moves. And I realized I had something to share with them, but at the same time, just serving people one-on-one wasn't really serving me. It wasn't really serving me because I have so much to share and I want to also be visible. Yeah, that's just what it's about. And I believe that's the energy right now. I have been hearing it with other like spiritual coaches in general, or people who are here for that kind of mission. So it is, I feel the call into visibility and just being more present for a larger group of people. So up until now, I have been working more in the shadows, if we want to call it that. So now I'm coming into the light and sharing my experience of business. And I will share more about that as well, because I also feel the call to help other coaches and service providers and healers, or like people that feel called by this names, right? Like other spirituals. Because I believe I have a solid business, a foundation, and I can share a few things already. So these are the people that I talk to, and of course, you, like, or whoever it is, like women who want to create the next level of their lives. And just today I heard it from one woman in my family. I heard it that she also, like, she said exactly the words that I identified. Probably you still think like I can do it on my own, like you're suffering. Maybe you're suffering in silence, as we like to call it. You're suffering in silence and you think you can't stick it through, you can't do it, like you just continue to struggle and then you break down and maybe cry, or maybe something more severe happens, like God forbid, but an accident or like a disease, something in life that wants to make you wake up to the fact that it's time for you to surrender, because that's really what it is. Like at the point, we call it like the rock bottom point, where you feel like I can't no more. Like my logic, my way of approaching life has brought me up until this point, but I can't no more. Like I am tired, I'm exhausted, I'm breaking down, and I'm just crying. So I believe that in the early stages of our spiritual awakening, this has to happen. It also happened with me, where I realized I can't do this on my own anymore. And I literally prayed. I remember it very clearly. It was many, like a few times, but I remember this one very clearly when I prayed down. I was on my yoga mat. I kneeled down. I prayed in like the fetus position. Is it the baby position? And I prayed, and I prayed to God that I don't want to do this alone anymore. And that's when I found my mentor. And I also knew, like I knew about the concept of when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I've been speaking about that on other videos as well, that I can only help people that have already decided that they want to receive information and that want to be helped and that surrender to new information, because the ego realizes that, yeah, maybe I didn't know everything. So I'm open to new information. I'm saying all of that to say that maybe you are at that point where you feel like I'm tired. I just need to, like, I want to surrender. Maybe that's not the word that you use, but you can't no more. Like, you're tired, and up until now you haven't been, it hasn't been your habit to seek for help, to actually go out and look for help, whether it be therapy or whether it be a coach. I like to say, and I had to prove it to myself, and I just want to share that again. I'm saying all of that, and it's a little, yeah, I know I'm sometimes it's a little, the information just come out of me, and I'm working on that, so bear with me as I grow better into streamlining my thoughts and what I want to say. So I always said that because I've heard that from my personal mentor and from other mentors. So there's the level of therapy, and I think therapy is something valid for people, especially if you are in a stage where where your wounded child hasn't healed. That's what I would say. Yeah. So I got therapy. So I booked myself some therapy sessions. I paid for them. In Germany, you can get therapy sessions for free as well, but you have to wait a long time. And I believe in paying professionals, so I didn't wait. So I got, and I wanted to get this therapy. And I spoke to the therapist, and I was very transparent with her, like who I am, that I have been doing, that I have been a coach and have been doing my personal inner work for around, yeah, 7 years now, almost, like really full in. And but I wanted to hear her professional, like, mirroring back if she could help me in any sense. And then we had two sessions, and then she said, I think you don't need any sessions. So I'm saying that to say that I believe that there is a level, there is something for, like, there's a level of therapy that needs to be done depending on where you are in your evolution. And coaching is like the level above therapy, right? Coaching is for people who take full responsibility for their personal life. That's the level that you already have to get to be like, okay, like literally nobody can live my life for me. Nobody can change my life for me. It is good to become aware of certain things, like why things happened, and like maybe like trauma issues and the names of things, and just becoming aware. That's probably what therapy is good for. But then in personal transformation, it's about full responsibility for yourself, for your thoughts, for your feelings, for your actions, for the results of your life. That is transformation. And that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. So it's about taking full responsibility for your life. So, hey. Oh, I got my hair done today. For everybody who's wondering, I hope. Yeah, I hope you like it. Maybe you like it or you don't like it. I like it. I am still getting used to it. It's a new style. But yeah. That's what's going on. So I'm saying all of that to say healing into femininity is about becoming fully empowered, if we want to call it that. Fully empowered, fully whole in yourself, like really harmonizing your inner masculine and your inner feminine. And I want to tell, like, I want to share my story. You've probably heard it before if you've been listening to my content, but in this context, I want to share a few like steps that I feel, not only I feel like I know listening to other people, listening to my mentor, listening to other spiritual leaders, and just listening to universal archetypal stories. So universal archetypal stories can be myth, right? Like literal myth of like the Greek myth. I think that's, is that the word myth, plural? Greek myth, traditional African myth. But also I think that the Bible is also a story of myth, right? It's stories to make universal psychological, spiritual processes relatable and understandable. And so one part, like one myth, one universal myth is the hero's journey. And I do identify with it a lot. And so the first thing that happened for me on my journey up until this point, where I feel like I'm whole, like fully whole, the journey never ends. Like, don't get me wrong, like the journey never ends. Personal work continues to go up and up and up and up, and there's always deeper and higher layers, but it's like, yeah, I feel I'm whole. So the first thing that happened was the call for adventure. It's the hero's journey, right? So the call for adventure is the call, right? You feel something inside of you where you feel like, I have to go and seek out this new life. I have to go out and find truth. I want to know more about something. It could be moving to a different country. It could be leaving your old job and finding a new, like a new horizon, right? New truth, new knowledge, the call for adventure. So that was for me when, yeah, I don't know exactly how long that is ago, but it must already be like 8 years. Yeah, 8, 9 years maybe. So setting out, going out. I left my job and I was like, okay, I gotta find my purpose. That was the words. And I think many people relate to that, finding your purpose. What is your purpose? Today I can tell you what your purpose is, like more or less. The word is very big and very loaded, I think. I believe your purpose is to do the things that make you happy. Like, that's literally it, to become alive and do the things that you love. So I wanted to go out and find my purpose, like this big, huge purpose. And I went out. I quit my job. I went on this very turbulent journey, which I totally loved. I became a nutritionist, and then that was the day where I kneeled down, and I was like, I'm not done. Like, I had all this like physical healing knowledge now. But I knew there was more, and I wanted to learn more about spirituality and manifestation and transformation. Very important. I believe, and I've been hearing that these days a lot as well, there's no real manifestation without transformation, right? So some people listening to basic level knowledge about manifestation, like vision boards, manifesting. But if you don't do the inner work, if you don't do the transformation, and I will tell you a little bit about my story, what transformation means or what the process could look like. It doesn't have to be the same thing for everybody, but more or less it's universal. So no real amazing manifestation without transformation. So inner work has to go with manifestation. So maybe this is also something that I will talk more about. I would love your feedback. So I am here, I'm doing these videos. I still have so much to share, but I know that I work best when I know like what you want to know more about. So let me know about your manifestation. Like, have you been dabbling in manifestation? Have you had a vision board? Have you tried to manifest things? How did that go? Like, did you simultaneously work on yourself? And what do I mean by working on yourself? So, of course, it's important. So that happened to like with me on my journey, and that happened on my journey. I learned a lot, right? So I learned all this theoretical knowledge. I had a lot of faith already. Like I just realized that for me, I always had a lot of faith. I had faith going to higher education. I remember that. I always felt that I was a child of God. Like I always had a deep personal relationship to God. And I knew in my youth that like I remember when I like said to myself, just by the way I dressed, for example, I thought I am the daughter of a king. Like I gotta represent my father. Back then it was more of a male God only. So, like, I gotta represent my divine father. I come from a royal family. I carry myself the way like I would when if I had a family that was respectable. That's how I felt like I had to carry myself. Like it was already very aware in my psyche. Then when I went to higher education, it was like the higher school form before you go to university. I think nobody in my family has ever gone to this level. So I thought, yeah, I can do that. That was like, yeah, of course. Like I can do everything. That is my level of confidence. It has been for a long time. Like I can do everything. So I went, I did it. I did my best. I, of course, did it. I always like to share that again. Like my four last focus topics. I don't know if you say it like that in English. My four last focus topics in school are exactly the things that I love today. So it was English, it was pedagogy. I don't know if that's an English name. Maybe I have to look it up. It was religion and it was biology. English, pedagogy, I don't know, is, yeah, pedagogy maybe. I don't know. It is like childhood psychology. Like, yeah, it's how to act with kids. I think that's what it is. I will have to look it up again, like what the formal description is, but it was a lot of psychology, basically. Early childhood psychology. And I loved it so much because I believe at the end of the day, we all want to know more about ourselves. Like, this is my whole life. I always loved to learn about myself. So English, okay, that was part of me because I grew up in Germany and German is the first language here, but English kind of always connected me also to my Ghanaian side. Since I didn't speak Enutri, which is the local language anymore, I felt like I had to be very good at English. So English was being part of my identity, my expression. Pedagogy, I will say, yeah, maybe that's not the right way to say, but it doesn't matter. So pedagogy, like this, early childhood psychological analysis, early imprints. We learned about Freud, Sigmund Freud. We learned about Jung, Carl Jung, like subconsciousness. Like this is the first time that I learned all these things in school, and these were my majors, right? Then religion and biology. I mean, biology and religion, of course, tells you a lot about yourself, right? So I love it. I love it so much that I was always free to choose whatever I wanted, and I feel like I've always made the best choices that were put on the platter for me. So I went to school. Then I went to university. Again, I thought about myself like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. So I applied only to two universities. I think I got like one no and then one yes. I ended up going to that university. It was easy. I loved the university. The experience was a little hard. I studied international business. I was never really into math, so it was a challenge, but I like a challenge, and I mastered the challenge. But what I really loved about the whole study was the international culture studies. So again, it was about me being an international person, right? It has had something to do with me. And especially in the later years, we learned more about like business ethics and intercultural studies. So intercultural studies, Gerd Hofstede is one of the famous and Trompena, I remember like some of the major guys that are referenced when you study these like culture studies, psychology, and different dimensions. So I don't want to go too deep into this. So I ended up writing my bachelor's thesis about exactly that, the Ghanaian business culture from a Western perspective. Again, it was a lot of psychology, cultural analysis, and it had to do with me. Like I wanted to be more clear about who am I and what are the two cultures that I inherit, right? So it helped me to do that. It was magical. Later on, I had Chimamanda Achide sign on my bachelor's thesis, which I also felt was amazing. She was like, I think I probably you know her. She's this author from Nigeria. And so I learned. I don't know even why I got here. So fast forward, I studied, then I got this corporate job, and I realized after my studies, after my bachelor's thesis, I thought like I can't conquer the world. Like I have so much knowledge. I made it through university, and I felt so powerful that summer and so full of life. And then I got into this corporate job. I didn't like it at all. It was in accounting, so boring. I'm happy I did it. I'm happy I did everything. Amazing, amazing experience to learn all that. But I knew I was more. There was more. So this is where my call to adventure started. I dabbled in a lot of things. NGO work, working with women, working with children, working with NGOs. Then I realized, no, that's not for me. I have to get ahead. I also started dancing again. Like I am a dancer by nature. And so this didn't work out. Then I got into the nutrition school, loved it. Bam, bam, bam. Fast forward, I ended up working in this hotel. Then I prayed, I received like my mentor, and then I got into learning all of that. Like I jumped into this dimension. I got into this like prestigious transformational coaching school where I feel like I have really received high level, like really high level training. And I just realized it later on because I was a match to like the high level from the beginning. Why I'm saying that is that sometimes we have to go back because I didn't trust that I already had everything that I needed. Like I was so well equipped with what I learned with my teacher, but I had to go into life and experience a little bit more. That's what I realized. So I found this like highly amazing, really felt like a elite school, like an elite university where I received my coaching training. And I learned all of that theoretically, like it resonated with me right away, all this like spiritual, but also scientific, a lot of scientific evidence, a lot of pedagogy, pedagogy, yeah. Like this, everything so many things resonated with me from my early school days, right? So it was like click, boom. So many things came together, all of the puzzle pieces. I realized this is exactly my language. I want to share this with everybody. Later on, Like I had to learn that as well. You don't share it with everybody because it's not for everybody. So now I'm here on YouTube to share it with only the people that are interested in leveling up. You want to level up, you know that there's more to life. You know, wherever you are okay, but you know there's so much more inside of your soul, and you know that there are other people living their best life, so you can do that too. So that was me. I got into the school, I got into the training. And what happened then? So, what happens with transformation? And I want to be very honest about that, is you first come in and you're kind of on a high. That was my experience. But then when you have to start to do the work, it's no longer like high level frequency love and light work. It's shadow work, right? Like transformation is about alchemy. It's about transmutation. It's transforming the dark to the light, right? That is the literal understanding of transformation, is going beyond one form to the next, from water to steam, you know, from lead to gold. Yeah. So it is transforming your darkness. And this process took a long time. Like I didn't know how much I had to alchemize. And so what happens is that you, on a mental level, you realize how many stories about yourself, it's all about yourself, the stories of the world that you have internalized from maybe your parents, subconscious from your upbringing. That, for example, like I'm saying, for example, that maybe that you are from a working class family, you know, you're not rich, even though I always felt rich. And like I always thought that I was wealthy, and I kind of was, like, in comparison to most of the world, but not rich, rich. Like I come from a middle class family, and my mom did her best to upgrade us during her working day. So, where you come from, what kind of family you come from, you know? Then for me, and I have to admit that always and again, all the stories, and I don't even know, like maybe you want to hear more about it, let me know. I think that is a big field, and I have throughout also my career as a coach, I have attracted most of the women that work with me, and I don't want to exclude anyone, are women of color, like from all walks of life, like Black, mixed, but also like Middle Eastern, Turkish, Korean, like women from all, like East African, West African, other mixed women, other mixed women. Men, I used to work with men as well. Like, so also German men. Like I used to work with men as well. I attracted many people, but I feel that most of the women that I attracted into my work were also women of color. Yeah. And I believe that there's a reason for it, because for me, and again, I don't want to discriminate, but that's my story. And I know today, I know it doesn't matter. We all have our limitations. We all have our limitations. And sometimes even a woman of color can have it easier than a white woman. I used to work with this one woman, and and she came from a quite wealthy family, but that was her block. Like she had this money block of guilt and shame and not wanting and loving money, even though she loved all the things that were connected to money, like luxury and travel and designer clothes and things like that. So I work with everybody, and everyone has limitations. I know that today. Yeah, I don't discriminate there. My personal story, and that's what I work through again and again, was definitely like the mixed girl thing. Number one, I have like stories from being white inside of me, like what white people did, what German people did, how German people are. I also wrote an article when I was in the Miss Germany cast, This year, I was part of the Miss Germany cast, and I got into the top 20. And there was one article published on a website, and there was one thing that I wrote there where I said I feel like a spy in some groups that I go into, because obviously I look the way I look, and when I go into groups of people, let it be like Middle Eastern, Arabs, North African. P immigrants, yeah, immigrants, or whether people, whether parents have been immigrants to Germany, I step in, they think I'm one of them, yeah. So, and part of me is, but part of me is I grew up with a German mother, so I obviously have my German side within me. So when I hear people speak bad about Germans, I feel like it is also part of an insult towards me. And then, like, I actually, yes, I have that too. Like, when people come to me and then they say, like, it's white people or other people, but not black people, people come to me and say, oh, I like your color more than like fully black. People have said things like that to me. So, and I'm like, okay, you are insulting like all of my like fully black family, you know? So, having these two worlds inside of me, I believe that this is something that maybe only, I don't know if that's true, but that's what makes people understand. I am both identities, right? Like when someone, I said it, like when somebody says something against white people, German people, I feel insulted. When somebody says something about black people, I feel insulted. So you cannot give me a compliment by insulting one part of myself. So that is the that I believe this was one of the most tricky things that I had to get through, right? To break that down and to become whole. I truly believe like my mixed identity was one of the biggest challenges, but one of the biggest blessings when I unlocked that I am both. I'm both, and also I'm neither of these stories. Like I'm not the stories that people t say about white people, and I'm not the stories that people say about black people, you know. So obviously there's more stories that are being told and negative stories in the collective. I grew up in the Western world, so more stories about black people, you know, poverty and enslavement and all of the Eurocentric narrative about black people, and being aware of that and moving in white society is like, okay, do people associate that with me? And yeah, and then also being a woman, of course. I mean, being a woman also in the in this Eurocentric, I don't want to go too deep into to these words because they're so loaded, but yeah. Maybe for once, you know, like this Eurocentric, masculine Western culture, we have been looking up to the white man and his psychology and his level of living and success. This has subconsciously become the blueprint of success. Right? Like that is what success looks like, and that is the way you get there. So first of all, it doesn't look like the same for me as a black woman or a woman of color. I had to deconstruct all of these programmings, like especially like the masculine in terms of success, how like a woman functions in the structures of the masculine. So this is what I had to deconstruct and make my own. I hope that's clear. I hope you can follow me. And I really, really hope that sharing a little bit more about this, that I'm fully aware of my identity as a ethnical or cultural identity being as well. This is, of course, this is a layer of my being. But to go down deeper, deeper down into the essence of me, We got to go deeper. So doing that kind of work, and then like the cultural and the ethnical programming, releasing that, becoming aware of it, and then rewriting the story about myself, and then like going even deeper into me, my personal self, right? Like not only the stories, but who am I as a person? Then we come to things like being selfish, or there's nothing else that comes to my mind now. Like the level of, are you a good person or are you a bad person, right? Are you a good girl or are you a bad girl? What are the parameters on how to find that out? Deconstructing that, what does that mean? Even like this whole good girl concept, and also me always being very drawn to spirituality and being drawn to your archetypal stories, like also the Bible story and Jesus. I love Jesus, and I learned a lot through the story of Jesus and many stories in the Bible, and kind of adopting like this good girl behavior even, and becoming definitely like, I have definitely been like a pushover, no boundaries, getting taken advantage of, being exploited, you know, like all of these things that you associate with the social worker kind of charity woman that I have been aware of, you know, since I have been in the non-governmental space. I realized very quickly that those people are not, they're doing all this good work probably because it's tied to their identity, that they feel like they have to do it and God will reward them for it, but not making any money, so leaving their personal lives in chaos. I saw that, so I decided to opt out of that. But still, there was layers inside of me where I also felt with the coaching work and also just being me in the work and outside of the work with people and other workplaces I have been, being, yeah, still having no boundaries. I had to learn that. So, like all of that, being a good girl, what does that mean? Does it serve me? Does it serve my divinity? Does it serve the purpose that I already know that I have, like helping people to become whole? No, I realize it didn't help. So, like also stripping away, like the good girl, learning more about that. What does that mean? Who benefits from that? Right? Exploitation and all of that. So, shedding that skin again. And here we come, shedding the skin. It's just coming as I'm speaking. Transformation is also like, you know, there we have the archetypal caterpillar turning to the butterfly. That is transformation. We all know that. But the same thing is with the snake. You know, this snake shedding its skin, that's also transformation. Like, that's also an archetypal image of transformation, shedding a skin, shedding a skin, shedding a skin, shedding a skin, until you become and stay at the purest and most recent version of yourself, everything that no longer serves you, everything that you've outgrown, everything that you've transcended or transformed gets to go. The skin gets to go. You get to release it and say, bye. This is no longer who I identify with, or not only what I identify with. I let it go. I'm shedding that skin. And coming down, 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 down into more of me, of me, of me. And what I want to say here is that doing the shadow work literally brings, like, brought me and will bring you to your fears. Like, it will bring you to existential fear. I believe that this is true for everybody. Feeling like you are gonna die. I remember one time, yeah, in my journey where I was, and this is also what I want to talk about. This process of becoming whole also means to becoming fully sovereign. Yeah, this word is used a lot here. Fully independent, maybe. Yeah. Before you become interdependent again, you have to become fully dependent, self-reliant, self-preserving, independent, sovereign, whole within yourself. Like fully complete. I am complete, complete. I love myself. I love my life. I can do everything that I need to do myself. Like I can do it. Of course, then later on, you bring people in again to assist you, also with your business, but and also to live life. Like I believe that we are creatures of relationships, but the first relationship is with ourself, with our both sides of ourself, our feminine and masculine nature, and with our higher self, with our divine self, and with the lower self, right? I always like to say it's like this: the higher self, the lower self, and the feminine and the masculine, bringing it together. So you will come to fear. Fear of abandonment. So this was mine. This was my big one. And this is also what I talk about with my therapist, right? And then she said, I think you got that covered already. My deepest wound that I've realized and learned about was abandonment. So when I was younger, my parents like left me in Ghana with 3 years old, and I can only imagine how painful that was probably for me. Like, oh, I'm not being taken care of, I'm not being loved by my most important caretaker, my mom. So it kind of left me a little off, yeah. And like, okay, maybe I don't need love, you know, like I can handle it. And this was the first thing that my parents got divorced, and like all through my life, I kind of felt like I had a little like toughness around me. I still do, and I feel like I can use it that to serve me, but I'm still working, and I believe that I've come far with opening my heart and fully saying and admitting to myself and others that I am love. I am love, like I am love, and I want to give love, and I also want to receive love. I want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want to be appreciated, and I want to receive love. And I think that's the most natural thing that we come here. Like that's what we want as spiritual beings in a human experience. But what I want to say is before I came to solve that, and it took years, maybe even for me, as I can say, almost 3 years to balance the energies and to come to this level where my deepest wound, my deepest fear, my deepest childhood wound trigger of abandonment got triggered. This is when me and my then partner, we separated, and I was back on my own. And I was like, oh my God, I felt like I can't, I really, I wouldn't, I couldn't continue to live. I literally thought that I will suffer. Like I can't live. I was so afraid. It was in Corona times as well. Like the world was going crazy. And I felt it. Like all of these wounds and these fears and these triggers, they live inside our bodies, right? And they will want to come up to be healed and to be released. So I felt that. And when we talk about the dark night of the soul, or when we talk about dying, death, like dying, deaths, like that we died and many times, it literally feels like that. It literally feels like that. And then there was another very dark time where I felt, if this is my life, like if this is gonna be my life for the rest of my life, like I rather don't want to live. Like I had, if you wanted, like I don't want to say it, but I had thoughts of like contemplations of if that's it, like I'd rather not live. I had that. I have been there. And I just want to say that. And sometimes I feel like showing up here so bubbly, is I was afraid of that. Like, that's me. Like, I am excited to come online and I'm excited to share that and I'm excited to hopefully reach somebody with this, you know, and resonate and speak to your soul and let you know that there's so much more. While I was going through all of that, I still continue to also kind of live out parts of what I thought was my dream. So it was never, you know, sometimes when we tell those stories, it can seem so linear, like that's how it was, but it's like psychological processes are very spiral, like, right? You can be here and then boom, the next day you're part of Miss Germany. That was literally my life. Like right before I applied for Miss Germany, I was in a very dark place. And then I thought, okay, let me do that because I can do that. And yeah, I just want to say that. So if that's you and if you've ever been to that dark place, know that it's part of your healing process. It is part of you becoming whole. And then we have to continue to decide for life. That is what I did, to continue to decide for life and to be like, okay, I trust God. I still, like, no matter how dark it gets in my life, I always know, I already know by now, like, it's not only believing, but I know that there is like this higher power and there are the laws of the universe and that I'm here for a reason. I believe that. So yeah, that was what I did. I decided for life again after this dark period and I continue to perform also, like to perform and to be good at my high profile job. And but inside I was like, cool. That's kind of boring, and I don't really feel alive. Like, I don't. It's crazy because, yeah, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, like you, like I can do things, like I would say kind of amazing things, kind of on autopilot already. Like, that's a very good thing to know, but it's also crazy. Like, what kind of, because I know that there's so much aliveness in me, there's so much love in me, there's so much creative energy in me, there's so much love I want to share and to give and to connect to people that want to grow and become whole and healed as well. Like I know that there's so much inside of me that yeah, I have to give it. Like just having a good corporate job is not it, you know? Like it's not it. It's okay. I'm happy that I can do that, but there's so much more. So there's constantly, yeah. What I was thinking when I faced all these deep fears of really existential fear where I felt like I can't do it on my own. And I want to share a very important part. Like, I have, even though I had been on this journey, I always, there was like this deep sucking energy of partnership. Like, I wanted a partnership. I still want a partnership. And at the same time, I feel like right now I am my best partner. Like I feel like I'm getting there. Like I'm still in it. That's why I somehow feel like maybe I shouldn't talk too much about it. But before I had like this sucking energy. Also, like later I realized like from if you have abandonment issues or if that has been a topic in your life, what happens on the other side is you become like, what is it called? The two attachment styles. You can either become avoidant or you can become like, what is it? Like, but you become more the leech, like you become so needy. And I literally had somebody say that to me. Like, this was my wake-up call that a guy said to me, you're so needy. Like, these were the words that cut me so deep where I realized my soul kind of realized I had to go on to this healing journey and become whole. So this is 9 years ago. Yeah. So I went on this journey, and again, like the deepest, it felt like the deepest, as I said, like there were layers, like the layers of identity, the layers of the gender, the layers of the culture, the layers and the layers and the layers and the layers. And at the core or at the bottom of my heart, and we, that's also, that's this one saying, right? Like the light enters, or the light shines out of the wound, or the light enters where the wound is. Maybe you know that saying. I think it's by Rumi or something like that. It's about that, where we have been cut the deepest, which most of the time is our childhood traumas or any kind of hurt. Let's just call it hurt. And where we have been pushed away or abandoned or however you want to call it, that this is the place that you have to return to, because it holds the biggest, this is where the light shines through, right? This is where the love, the divine, the eternal light, whatever you want to call it, it's at the deepest place. Because most of the time we are so afraid to face this place again. This is maybe where we don't want to look, because we feel when something happens to us, like our subconscious mind creates like a silent story around it. And I believe what happens is when we come into awareness, we create, or like the words come to the silent story. So what I believe, for me, for example, with the abandonment, the story behind there could be, you're not worthy, right? You're not worthy. You're not loved. You're not safe. You're not taken care of. That's the story here. Like, you are not worthy of love. Like, your parents gave you away. You know, you're not worthy of love, ultimately. Turning there. And maybe being afraid that these words are true. Yeah, and facing that could be like the deepest fear you maybe have, right? But then, as we also know, most, like, people are not ultimately afraid of their darkness. That's why so many people live in their, I don't want to use that word because I don't like it anymore, and I think it's doing a disservice to people. But people don't live in their potential, because they, most of the people live more of their shadow selves, right? Like the limitations and all the crap. Yeah, like most people live from there, and they're kind of comfortable, right? So I don't believe that we're so afraid of the darkness. It's not my concept. It's by Miriam Williamson or Nelson Mandela. We don't know exactly. But these people are afraid of their light. People are afraid of their glory. People are afraid of their divinity. People are afraid of their power. You know, the power, the potency, the clarity, the light, the divinity, the shine, the beauty. People are afraid of that. Yeah. So when we face and we go silent and we go back to the place of the deepest hurt, to the wound, when we like kind of patch that up, and when we wrestle with the fear that, like, you're not worthy, you don't deserve love, all of those things, and when we come to peace with that, this is the time where the light will fully come through. I don't know how to say it best, but that's the time where we feel like at peace. We have made the demon within ourselves our friend, you know, or we have tamed the demon. It's still there, but it is no longer in opposition. It is part of our awareness, and we become stronger, like our higher nature, our divinity, our consciousness becomes stronger than this fear. And this is where we become whole. And this is where I want to say that I had to let go of everybody, every human, friends, family, as it is also said, like the crutches, right? The things that we tend to lean on, like, oh, can I lean on you? Can I lean on you? And I have to think about the song, like, lean on me when you're not strong. Yes, maybe it's wrong, you know, like maybe it's kind of false, because I believe like you will have to go through the dark night of the soul. You will have to go through it alone, and you will have to face your deepest fear alone. Like you can have, and it's very important to have people that can help you to sort, like to understand it, become aware of it, conscious, integrate it. Yeah. But ultimately, you have to go through this alone. So at one point, we have to let go of all the emotional attachment to other people. Again, coming into full responsibility for ourselves, for our lives, and all dimensions of our life, the mental, right? The mental, the emotional, the physical, the financial, and to become whole in the masculine and the feminine. And for me personally, and I'm sharing it always from a personal point, that I, for the longest, have like leached on to men that came into my orbit if I can say it like that, when I thought, okay, maybe that's the guy, you know, I projected so many things onto to whoever came, and I thought, okay, maybe he's the one, like he can support me. He can carry me or whatever. Like, I believe it's a natural desire, and I still desire that to have a man that can hold me, right? That can be there for me. But I know that I had to cut all the cords of emotional dependency and become like really solid emotionally within myself. And I learned that in the past year in my job in sales, like to become emotionally stable and to control my emotions, control my triggers, control my abandonment, fear, yeah, and learn how to work with it, like not to fall into the like unconscious mechanism of leeching onto somebody because I'm afraid that they will ultimately leave me, but becoming more and more in becoming my own man, yeah, becoming my own masculine, becoming integrating my open heart and my bubbliness and my creativity and my speaking and my sharing of the things that I love. And at the same time, keeping boundaries, being clear, and also hold myself. So I'm sharing all of that with you, because this has been my journey. This has been my journey, and it is ultimately, yeah, if you are there, because today I got this, yeah, I saw this. When you are at a place where life is becoming too hard, and you feel like it's time to let go of everything that you have believed about whatever life, family, friends, leaning on somebody. Probably life is inviting you to become fully sovereign, like fully in your own power, fully in your surrendering, but also in your action to become your own man and to become your own woman, to become balanced, to realize the yin and yang within yourself. That is the ultimate completion, to be both, right? To be both. And you will have, yeah, I already said that, like, you will have to die and go through many dark nights of the soul. Maybe you have been through some already. to realize, and this is where you, and I'm saying that because it has a happy end, because at the end of the process to become whole and one, healing into femininity, but also healing into masculinity and healing into divinity, becoming whole and becoming your own entity, like full togetherness, right? This is where you become one with yourself, where you unite the poles, the polarity, where you integrate both. Integration is a very important part to call back all the aspects of yourself. And it is also called divine union. Yeah, sometimes we speak about divine union between you and your divine masculine in the outside, like your husband in a physical form, you as a woman, and then you have your husband, and you're both conscious and you come to together. This is attracting your divine masculine, divine feminine. I personally believe, I don't know yet, because I up until now I'm still me. But I believe when you become your own divine masculine, if you integrate that masculine part within yourself, this is the best time, or this is where you will have the opportunity to also attract the divine masculine on the outside. But it's not about that. And we don't want to make it about that. We really want to make it about becoming whole within ourselves, like becoming one entity and becoming one with ourselves. As I said, masculine, feminine, but also the higher self and the lower self, and the nature, like the beast, the divine, and the human animal part. Like, we are all of this, and this is where, yeah, we become one, and separation dissolves. And for me, it is like on so many levels. It feels like I see this as like a riddle, like the big, like a door, with a lock, kind of like where you have to turn here and turn here until everything falls together. Maybe you get the picture. And like so many different things. And when this clocks in, like this falls in, and everything falls into place, like the riddle has been mastered. And like for me, as I said, also being in this multidimensional being, and you are too. And for me, it is so, like, so obvious also with the, like, my dad being African and my mom being German, like this black and white pole, like this feminine masculine, this all of these things, like becoming one and becoming whole, and also like one is with the O, right? And is zero, and the whole and the circle, and becoming one with your soul. This is the place where you no longer fight, where the different aspects of yourself don't fight with each other. Like, am I this or that? Am I this or that? You're both and some, right? It is not duality. It's, you don't have to choose. You are both. You are masculine, you are feminine, you are whatever ethnicity you are. You are this and that, and you get to choose which aspects of yourself you bring to the forefront, which aspects you use and you show, and you, yeah, you integrate, and you yeah, just use as the richness of your being. Like, it is so rich, it is so empowering to know that you have the power within you, your oneness entity, that you can create the things that you want to create in the here and now, in the physical form, in life, bringing whatever is in your imagination down to earth. The feminine and the masculine, we need both parts to create the life that we want. And that's what it's about. I shared a little bit about my story and some of the stages that I went through. And that's what healing into femininity is about. That is what becoming whole is about for me. This is my work. Like there are so many different layers to that. And of course, also knowing the universal principles that we live in. Like there's so much more, but that's kind of the journey of awakening, like from spiritual awakening, which most of the time happens with a punch in the face, where you're overwhelmed, where you cry, where you maybe, God forbid, again, ex you have an accident or you have a sickness, something where God, where life is showing you have gone down the wrong route for too long. Now it's time to surrender, open your free will up, ask for help, and let other people come in. Yeah, divine intervention. And then you can learn and redirect yourself to go to higher heights, become whole, and go through this journey within yourself to become whole. And from this point on, to create the things that are on your heart. I think that's it for today. So thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I would love to hear from you. And I'm looking forward to see you soon. Until then, bye-bye.